Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Michael Kearns. Mike's got 40 years of experience and kind of winding down his ministry career, yet I know he'll always be doing ministry, but he's been at it at all angles, small churches, big churches. He has also taught at Asbury University. He has a doctorate from Asbury, and he has a Master's of Divinity from Cincinnati Christian Seminary. He also has certification from the National Association of Church Business Administrators, and in fact has an accounting degree from the University of Kentucky. So a guy that I really can relate to because I came out of the marketplace myself into ministry, yet he's got double the experience that I have in those 40 years and just a plethora of knowledge. But the best thing is, even with his brilliant mind and skill set, Mike's just got a wonderful heart, a great personality, and just a really good communicator of God's word. If you missed yesterday's program, really want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today.org, and catch that 14-minute program. Or if you listen to podcasts, we're available on all the platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just simply type in Hope is Here. Mike, yesterday you were just kind of sharing some of your favorite scriptures and a little bit of your background, and we got talking on the Holy Spirit, which we both agree it's not talked a lot about in churches, and you were getting ready to share a really good story. We ran out of time, so go back to that story. Kind of correlates with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you. I was listening to your introduction there, and I have always thought when I write my resume out and I read through it, I think, shoot, I would hire that guy. But not everybody sees it the same way.
That's right.
But and I put a tagline when I sent this to Greg, and it said, now, after you read all of that, that and $8 will buy you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So,
where's my dad? You say that, son, and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. But now I think it's $2.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, yeah, I was talking about the Holy Spirit because I think in the Christian church, particularly, and maybe in other churches as well, we almost shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit. I was on staff with a guy by the name of Dr. Bruce Carpenter. And Bruce was a big Holy Spirit guy. He still is. He and I meet together and we talk some. And he talks about the Holy Spirit all the time. And I had this friend of mine that was in ministry. And he used to say to me all the time, he would talk about God telling him things. And I've often thought, if somebody walks up to you and said, Greg, God told me to tell you, what do you do with that? You can't argue with that if that's what he's, you know, believes that God told him. Well, I've never heard God speak audibly to me. But in my quiet time and when I get in touch with the Holy Spirit that lives in me, I will have thoughts run through my head that I think, where did that come from? I didn't think of that by myself. You know, and I contribute that to the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God gave every Christian the Holy Spirit. The problem is we tend to push that Holy Spirit down inside our souls and operate out of our own ideas and thoughts. And the whole key is releasing the Holy Spirit out of your soul and letting it control your life and guide you and do those kind of things. So I've tried to do that over the years, and ministering with Bruce has helped me to kind of understand that. But all through my ministry, I kind of did that. And so if it's okay with you, I'd kind of like to walk through my journey in ministry. I started in 1983 at a little church down in Harrison County called Robinson Christian Church. And Greg mentioned that we have some things in common. He was at Berry Christian Church a few years later, which is only 5 miles from Robinson. So we had something in common there. And they were great people. I loved them. And we had a really good ministry. It was growing. We did a lot of things. We built onto the church. A lot of good things going on. And I remember somebody telling me one time early on in my ministry that you never become the pastor of a church until you marry them and bury them. And I thought about that, and I thought, as I've gotten into ministry, I totally understand it now. When you go through the highlights of life with people, like their daughter's getting married, or you go through the depths of losing a parent or a child, which I've had to do on a couple of occasions. I have friends today from some of these churches because I walked with them through that. That's part of being in ministry. That's what it's all about. So I was there from 1983 to 1987. In 1988, I got a call to Capital City Christian Church in Frankfort. And so I was excited to go there. It was a great church, a great reputation. And I was really interested in trying to work there. I wanted to be there. I had early in my life, I wanted to be, I had talked about going into business, but I really wanted to go into politics. And I wanted to be in politics. And so I thought, well, I'm a minister in a church in Frankfort. That's as close as you're going to get to it. So that was the extent of my politics for sure. While I was at Capital City, we had a church of about 220 when I got there. We got it up to about 350 at one point. We had plans for a family life center. I had a strategic plan laid out that I've taken that church to 600 or 700. That church is running over that now. And so they were able to achieve what the dream that I had. And they a lot of great work by those people. I didn't do that. They did that. And God did that with that church. And but while I was there, my intent was to die there. It was my intent to stay there until I retired. Unfortunately, in 1992, my wife decided that she did not want to be married to a minister. And so she left, and I had two kids. They were 10 and 12. And I was committed to keeping them in their schools and in their home because their lives were disrupted enough. I went to one of my best friends, and I said to him that what I was going through, and his comment to me was, you got to understand something. In ministry, divorce costs too much. And it does. It costs a lot. It cost me a lot. It set things back. And my path that I was on changed drastically in the process. But here's what I learned. Every time you have bad things happen to you in life, you got to learn something from it. And so here's what I learned going through that, is that you have to look at the situation and say, what was my fault? And own that. And learn from it. And make your life better. Become a better father, or a better husband if you marry again. And then also say, look at it and say, what was not my fault? That I didn't have anything to do with that. And let go of that. And forgive that. And I was able to eventually get there and do that. And so that helped me a lot in terms of staying in ministry and understanding that that God still had a plan. But I will tell you, when I left Capital City, I didn't have a clue where I was going. I knew I wanted to keep my kids in Franklin County School so they would have a stable life. So I was going to do whatever I had to do. So what I did was I picked up a newsletter from Southern Acres Christian Church called The Builder. And I was reading through it, and they had a little article in the back saying they were looking for a business administrator. And I thought, I got a degree in accounting. I have some business experience. I got ministry experience. Maybe this will work. So I went over and sat down with Wally Rendell, and he and I talked through it. And I went on part-time with Southern Acres. And within a year and a half, they asked me to come on full-time. And so, again, your life and my life kind of crossed paths because I became the executive minister of Southern Acres Christian Church. And we had just a great ministry. We 1 year we averaged over 1,000, which meant that we had special events that were 1,200, 1,300. We got up to 1,800 on Easter, you know, that kind of thing. So we were touching a lot of people. Bruce Carpenter, I mentioned earlier, has this great small group program. And so we had about 85% of our congregation in small groups, which is large for any church in the process. But it allowed us to minister to a lot of people, and it was a great ministry. It just really was. And, of course, many people probably out there know a little bit about the story of Southern Acres and what eventually happened. Wally decided to retire, which he had every right to do. Unfortunately, the elders of the church at the time decided to hire a 23-year-old young man who had never had a senior minister position. And I remember Wayne Smith saying to me one time about young men like that. He says, you know, when they get a position like that, it's like they were born on third base, but they thought they hit a triple. And I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, that's kind of what it was, you know. And it was difficult. So the story of Southern Acres from that point forward was a kind of a downward spiral over the next 7, 8, 10 years until eventually Southern Acres totally closed. And there was all kinds of blame to go around on that. There's no one person at fault. The young man wasn't totally at fault. The elders weren't totally at fault. But it happened, and it's kind of sad that it actually happened the way that it did, because it was such a great church. I look around now at the staff that we had there, and Dave Kibler was on staff, and he's now at Catalyst Christian Church. Doug Pyatt is the executive minister at Broadway Christian Church. Brian Bolton is now the minister at Centerpoint Christian Church. And Marcia Drummer's over there. All of the people that were on staff, many of them ended up somewhere in ministry, and because they were gifted and talented, and God blessed them so very much. But then I left there, and again, I needed a Godogram, because I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where to go. Again, the questions popped in my head. Do I get out of ministry, you know? I was in my 50s at that point. And so I was really struggling trying to figure out what to do. But I had a really good friend by the name of Tim Philpott. Tim and I had been friends for years because I became a Christian under his dad's teaching. And so he and I kind of communicated, and he was helping out a little church over on Clay's Mill Road. And he said, why don't you come over here and talk to these people? And so I went over there, and I talked to them. And eventually, they said, why don't you come and be our senior minister? And so I accepted that call. And we had a great 9-year ministry over there.
We're almost out of time. Man, just what a great journey it's been. If you just tuned in, we've been talking with Mike Kearns. Actually, Dr. Kearns has been with us and just sharing about his ministry experience as he's just crossed the threshold of 40 years of ministry, and he's been at small churches in rural areas and also been at a large church like you heard about at Southern Acres. Like me, he came from the marketplace, so just a great background in ministry. And so, unfortunately, out of time, but I hope you'll join us again tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.